Maureen, great God Almighty Maureen, the fictional queen. She has been drinking sombreros all night. She's been staring at John, who is perhaps half her age. Maybe 15 years ago, even though she wasn't beautiful, she might have had a slim chance at him anyway. The chance is substantially slimmer today. Now Charlie is giving her the eye, and she recalls his first wife and their reception at the old Legion Hall. And he was muscular back then. What happens to mid-age men? The muscles in their chest seem to fall. Now he looks like he swallowed a basketball. She says, you know something, Charlie, if you lost about 40 pounds and worked out sometimes at the gym, and if you bought some new clothes to wear once in a while, combed your hair, shaved those whiskers off your chin. I'm trying to pitch you now, Charlie, and you gotta admit it's something of a challenge, so give me a couple minutes here if you could. I think you'd still be ugly as sin. Give me a break, Maureen. You ain't no beauty queen, no matter how much rouge you put on. And she knows he would rather be taking home Sarah. He knows she would rather go home with John. Dream on, mid-age divorcees, dream on. And Charlie and Maureen aren't the king and the queen. They're just grabbing whatever they can. And when they get it on, she imagines he's John. He imagines she's Sarah McMahon. It ain't love, but hell, it ain't so bad. He says, hey, you wanna hear a funny one? Soon your daughter will be 21 and drinking down here with her mom. And I want to see the look on your face when she comes up to you one day and says, I'm moving in with a man in the morning. It's that cute guy down the bar who's named John. She says, have you heard that age-old line? They all look good at closing time, 'cause you're drunk and your options are few. Well, I have had 12 drinks, give or take a few. It is last call now, 10 till 2, and Charlie, I'm looking at you. And I don't think that old line is true. Charlie and Maureen aren't the king and the queen. They're just grabbing whatever they can. And when they get it on, she imagines he's John. He imagines she's Sarah McMahon. It ain't love, but hell, it ain't so bad. Now, at this point, Charlie and Maureen's enchanted evening, as it were, Charlie's had 14 Budweisers and 3 of those remarkably illuminating shots of peppermint schnapps, and he's beginning to become profound and philosophical. He looks over to Maureen with this look of impending nirvana in his eyes, as if perhaps he's experiencing some sort of spiritual illumination. Satori in barroom, if you will, not to paraphrase Kerouac, although I do understand that it is mandatory in some painfully hip folk venues close to Harvard Square that you do paraphrase Kerouac at least once during every performance. Having fulfilled that obligation, I'd like to tell you what Charlie said. He said, excuse me, Maureen. I just had this strange thought. I think you and I are like the Red Sox. We're always trying to catch up from behind. Always score big in the first inning, and through the whole game we're winning. Then we give up the grand slam in the ninth. Maureen, I think we're the best fifth place team of all time. She says, that's brilliant. It's philosophical. Lord, I need another sombrero. Here's the keys. Please warm up the Pinto. And it's a story without a miracle. The ending is predictable. The drunk Juliet, the fat Romeo. They're not exactly inspiring, but at least they're not alone. And Charlie and Maureen are not the king and the queen. They're just grabbing whatever they can. And when they get it on, she imagines he's John. He imagines she's Miss December 1993. But he has a good sense not to tell her that. He'll be sleeping in the damn Pinto. It ain't love, but it ain't so bad.